Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 11 in our teaching on the Book of Revelation titled, The Saved of the Tribulation Period. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
When you jump in the water, the water's going to affect you. And so is church. If we'll jump in, it'll affect us. We won't affect it.
That's a good word.
And the question is, are you going to jump in this morning or not? If you come to church and you say, well, Alan, I didn't feel nothing, it's because you didn't jump in. Amen?
That's a good word.
So I'm going to pray. We'll just jump in this morning and get wet.
I'm going.
You going?
I'm going.
I want the waters of God to affect me.
That's right.
It's obvious if I affect them, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen? I told the Lord, actually on the way up here this morning, I said, Lord, I don't think I'm in the mood this morning. He said, jump in. That's when it started.
Yeah.
I could feel it. Then when I sat down, I saw it. So I make a confession to you, I'm jumping in.
Amen.
One thing about the water, when you jump in, if you're dirty, you get clean in just a little bit. It'll change your attitude, especially if the water's cold. All of a sudden, it captures all of your thinking. Everything about you. The only thing you're trying to do is float. So, Lord Jesus, I ask and pray that today, that we will jump in. It's my prayer, O God, that your presence would affect us, that we wouldn't sit here like a knot on a log, saying, God, touch me if you can. I pray, oh God, we just give up the ghost and jump in.
Right.
Give up our pride, our arrogance,
yes,
our stubbornness,
yes,
our everything we bring to the table. Just let us give it up. Let us jump into your presence this morning. Let us do it on purpose.
Right.
I don't want to trip and fall in. I want to jump in. I want to do it deliberately. Conscious decision.
Yes.
Because we know your presence is in this place.
That's right.
Because we've already felt it.
That's right.
So, Lord, let us jump in your presence. Let us jump into who you are. Let you capture our thinking just like cold jumping in a cold ice water. Let us think about nothing but you. And I pray, oh God, that you'll cover us up and you'll wash us clean. We're clean indeed because we jump into your presence. Amen. There you go. I got a little thing slide in this teaching, and I'll get to it hopefully in a little bit. I wrote it down for the pastor. I gave it to Elizabeth while I was studying this chapter, and we'll get to where the prayer of the saints is like it's a sweet smell of incense before the altar of God. And anyway, a lot of action when that next angel takes those prayers and takes them before the altar of God. There's a lot of stuff starts happening in heaven. And so the Spirit gave me this, and the question is, why do we pray? You know, we're looking for always to hear God's voice, for God to speak. But why do we pray? It's because God responds more than He speaks. That's what we're going to see in this chapter. That God responds more than He speaks. Because what happens in this chapter, in the next part of this chapter, beginning of chapter 8, is after the prayers of the saints are offered up to God, then He responds. If you want to hang the book of Revelation on somebody, you got to hang it on the prayer of the saints. Uh-oh. Y'all want to see why I said that? All right, let's look at it here. I'm going to go over just a little bit of to bring us. I've got to bring us back up because I'm in the same chapter. I was told this past week that, Alan, if you go any faster, you're going to quit. You didn't do but two verses last week. And I was trying to hurry. Seems like the more I hurry, the slower I get. Okay, let's go over it right quick. Now, this is the part I want you to get. We've done it every time. We'll do it every time till I get done teaching Revelation. There are four accounts of the second coming of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. What is the book of Revelation about? It's about the revelation of the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's what this book is about. We've got the first account of the second coming, chapter 4, second account, chapter 8, third account in chapter 12, and fourth account in chapter 15 through 19. So it's needless to say, the book of Revelation is about the second coming of Christ. And it just shows it in several different ways here, gives us more information on the coming. Now we see in this coming, there's three main topics here. One's the seals, the trumpets, and the vials, it's called. Now, in the seals, which we're finishing up today, that's more the long story. Now, I spoke to you 2 weeks ago about how in the book of Revelation, it's basically three-dimensional, in that it'll be going on in the heavens, and then it's going to go on the earth. Then it goes on in the ages. I showed you that at the seven churches. You remember that, how that's seven individual churches, real churches. But it also was seven different ages of the church for the last 2,000 years. So we got dimensional application. People argue from the different dimensional applications of the Scriptures, saying one's true over the other when actually they're all true. One's a picture. Book of Revelation's about symbols. It's giving you symbols of actual things to teach you and talk to you about things that you can't see. That's just like things on this earth. This is not the main thing. Main thing's in the heavens right now. What's on the earth is just a reflection. Can you hear me? The earth is not the main thing. Your life today is not the main thing. It's your life after here that's the main thing. You're just getting ready for the main thing. Even though you think the main thing is what's going on right now. It's not. It's prepared you for the main thing. Why do we have so many trials, tribulations? We say, come to Jesus Christ and everything will be all right. Well, that's a true statement, but not yet. Anybody noticed? It's not yet. So you just need to read the book. Book says, yes, that's a true statement, but not yet. Why is it a not yet? And we'll see on further in the book of Revelation, the reason God allows us to go through the sufferings we do is because it's the way that He creates in us a response of appreciation when there is things that are good. If you got things that were good first, you'd be so spoiled rotten you wouldn't be of any heavenly or earthly good. So God gives us sufferings and tribulations. He's programming you. The greater the suffering, the greater the reward. Greater the sufferings that you didn't cause is the greater the reward. Second trumpet. This is trumpets. It's a shorter version of the second coming. Then we see the vials or the plagues. It's probably the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Does that mean we're having any of them now? Yes, we are. Does it mean that we will have them? Yes, we will. Now, chapter 7 is a parenthesis in the chronological order of the book of Revelation. I've said to you, chapter 7 is between the 6th and 7th seal. First six seals, all of a sudden, bam, parentheses. I'm going to insert something. It's chapter 7 that's being inserted here. It's like you watch a movie. Then you're watching the main character, and all of a sudden in the movie, they reflect back to the childhood of the main character. It's a reflection back into the beginning of those first six seals. Last week we went over the beginning of that in the first two verses. We see here that God's program of grace and salvation during judgment is what this is hitting, this parenthesis, or it's called parenthetical verses which just means it's a parenthesis in the two seals, sixth and seventh seal. It shows grace and salvation during this time. In the 7 years tribulation, will there be grace given and salvation? Yes. Who's it given to? We learned last week. It's given to 144,000. You remember that? Now, the winds are symbols of God's judgment upon the earth, and the four angels are the restraining agents who hold back the judgments until God's special servants can be sealed. We spoke about that. The special agents or the special servants of God in the tribulation period is 144,000. I went over last week some information. The parentheses looks back to the same time period that is covered by the six seals. Now, it says in verse 1, after these things I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. Now here you start seeing the words earth, sea, tree. There'll be one other thing added. Now this is with the seals. When we move into the trumpets and the vials or the plagues, the first of them will be dealing with the earth and sea and the tree. All right? See, it's holding back. The winds are holding it back. Just take a mental note, earth, sea, tree. Then as we keep moving forward, you'll say, okay, earth, sea, tree. Oh, okay. Then you start seeing going from the seals to trumpets, earth, sea, tree. Vials, earth, sea, tree, plus a few more. All right, I want you to see it's the overlapping. They're speaking of the same events, just giving a different approach and giving you more information of the same event. Now, I'm trying to simplify the book of Revelation. I hope I'm not making it complicated. You see, or is that helping? Okay. The angels were waiting for orders from God. Their job at this moment was to control the four winds until God said, release them. The wrath is held back until those who must be sealed are sealed. Now, understand something. The wrath is held back. These angels are waiting to hear from God. I'm getting ready to read to you how the prayers of the saints is what causes God to release the winds. Are you with me? That's the reason I said you need to understand, why do we pray? God responds more than He speaks. He's wanting to hear from us. He's wanting to hear from His people. We have an input. We pray, God says, yes, I believe we will. And here it comes to the earth. Does that mean that we could pray for revival? Those prayers are given to God. He responds to them, says, yes, I think I'll give them a little. For sure. So why do we pray? Just to give God something to respond to. Does that give you an understanding of what's happening here? Now, verse 2, and then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. They say it again, earth and sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. I went over that last week. Do you remember the seal? Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, nor the sea, or the trees, until I have sealed them. The seal, do you remember what it was? It's the Holy Spirit. I went over the Scriptures. Did I do it? Yeah, I left it in there. What is the seal? The Holy Spirit Himself is the seal of God. We see this, Paul says it in Ephesians. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of what? Promise. So Jesus is sending them the Holy Spirit. Why does Jesus have to send them that and seal them with the Holy Spirit? It's because the Holy Spirit's been taken out. That's the reason people like me is under the persuasion that the rapture of the church is real and true. I believe it's taken out. Here we see it's void. So going into it, Jesus baptizes them in the Spirit. Now, I'll give you another view a little later on how it could be the second in the middle of the tribulation. Just so happens it doesn't make any difference how we believe. God's going to do it like He wants to do it. So I don't get hung up on it. I just don't get hung up on it. Unless I know somebody is, and then I like to torment them. Yeah, you too. I got a witness on that one. Now, Paul says in chapter 8 of Romans, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This indicates that this group, which is to be sealed, are the Spirit-filled individuals in tribulation period. The seal is placed upon their forehead, which indicates the Spirit is especially related to their minds. What verses do we have? Have this mind in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. You see, we are sealed. We are the sealed believers in the day of grace. Same things happen to us, it's going to happen to them. These people are specifically called the servants of our God. We're called the servants of our God. But you've got to understand, if you're taken out, He's putting back. Now, 2 Corinthians says, Now He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Point being, what's going to happen with these 144,000 in the tribulation period? Is that going to happen? The answer is yes. Dimensionally, in the Spirit, has it also already happened? Yes. But just because it happened to us, which we are in a group called the secret. We are the mystery of God. Ephesians 3, the church was not known in past ages. So we are the... You see, you got to understand how God does this thing. In Joel chapter 2, it says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Right? Young men see vision, old men see dreams. Before that great and notable day of the Lord. And then the moon shall be turned to blood. And the, you remember that? Okay, that hasn't happened yet. The outpouring of the Spirit has. The moon, sun, and all that earth stuff hasn't happened yet. So the church today for 2,000 years is a parenthetical time. We are the parentheses of Joel chapter 2. Got it? Say, I got it, Alan. You see, we're that secret, we're that mystery the Apostle Paul talks about. See, the Apostle Paul, he had to go back to Peter and the 12 and tell them what he had about this message of grace. He said, I was called up to the third heaven, and I got this information that you don't have to do the law. I got all this information. And he takes it back to Peter. Peter said, well, Paul done signs and wonders, so he's got to be an apostle. Then Peter said in the last of Peter, you can read it, Peter says, well, you know, Paul came around saying some things it's hard to understand. Right? The reason is the apostle, you just have 12 thrones, 12 apostles. Paul's number 13. Paul's the apostle of the parenthetical day of grace. Do you get it? We're the parentheses in the middle of the prophecy of Joel. Can you see it? Now, there are certain things we have. You read it in Ephesians and Galatians and in Corinthians, you'll see what this parentheses of the grace of God is. That's when you go to Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the 7 years tribulation. Jesus is not talking. Jesus said, there's a crowd of people. He said, the Jews require signs. Right? Paul said that. Jews require signs. Then he come along and said, Jesus said, there's going to be a crowd comes after you that does not have to see, but they'll believe. See? Now, you didn't get saved by seeing the miracle. You got saved because the Holy Spirit visited your heart and convicted you of sin. If we think we can do miracles in here so people will get saved, you're wrong. That's for the Jew. Yes, they got to see it. God told them, don't believe it's me unless there's a miracle. In this parentheses of the day of grace, the Holy Spirit's been given to convict your heart. And so we're the people that didn't have to see to believe. Now, does it do away with signs and wonders? No. I just don't say, watch this miracle and get saved. I say, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You're convicted in your heart. Believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. You'll be saved. And unless you get a visitation of the Holy Spirit upon your heart, you won't even understand what I just said. That's the reason I've said you can say that backwards. If the Holy Ghost visits your heart, you'll still get saved. It's the power of the Spirit to convict a heart. We're a parenthesis. So what's my message? Do we want to have a church that's known for signs and wonders? No. We want to have a church that's known to people getting born again. Then some signs might follow us. They won't precede us. They follow. Why? Because we're the parenthesis of the prophecy of Joel. Now, I'm out of breath. Ephesians. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed, you're sealed. Let me go on. That's the trees and the land. Earth's Israel, seas, Gentiles, trees is special leaders. All right. Now it gets into these tribes, the 12 tribes here. Actually, there's 10 of them shown, or 11. One of them was kicked out and run off and done some bad stuff. Well, actually, what they did, they let homosexuality into their tribe and all this stuff and made a mess. Okay, here you can read. It says, you got 12,000 out of this tribe, 12 out of that one, 12 out of that one. One of them's a brother to the other one that brings the tribe in. But this will equal 144,000. 12,000 each from each tribe. Then he says there's a statement of Jesus in the 24th chapter of Matthew which relate to these 144,000. Now there again, if you look at me, you got to understand when you're reading Matthew 24 what Jesus is talking about in relation to Revelation chapter 7 and 8. Once you understand Revelation, you'll understand Matthew. Well, of course, it makes sense. The unfolding events of the future, Jesus had this to say. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You see, Jesus was saying that to the Jewish nation. We see over here in Revelation, all of a sudden, though, we had this huge parentheses, seven churches, Revelation 2 and 3, parentheses. We had this huge parentheses. Jesus, this is after the parentheses, after us. This gospel is going to be preached to the whole earth by the 144,000. Isn't that something? Have you got the setting now? Okay. The gospel is always the same in every age. This group of the 144,000 select men from Israel will fulfill the word of Jesus that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the final judgments of God will come. You got your Bibles? It's a good place to use them in church. Let's turn to Revelation, Matthew 24 right quickly. As you see there, Matthew 24, I'll just hit some spots of it. Matthew 24, you see it in verse 1, say, Alan, I'm there. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, then shall not be thrown down. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things shall come to pass, but the end is not yet. For the nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of what? Of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be what? Afflicted. And shall do what? Kill you. You missed a wonderful place. Say glory. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be what? Now listen, the spirit of offense is on this planet worse than I've ever seen. What is political correctness? It's so that you've offended somebody, so that you don't offend somebody. So, but it's something to me, you don't offend somebody, but everybody's offended. Can you not see it on the increase? Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. You know, it's amazing to me. On all of the things of offense that we have out there now, and I'm being very honest with you, and I'm dealing with them, I wasn't offended with any of them until the last 5 years. And for some reason, the very fact of everybody being offended about it's offending me. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? But see, I'm getting offended just the same. Same spirit. Spirit don't care who you're offended with, whose side you're on. It's just that you're offended. I can feel it. It's in me. I've been offended more in the last 12 months than I've been my whole life. How do you know you're offended? You're short-tempered. That didn't hit nobody. What does that mean? We are being challenged by the spirits of darkness to not be offended. Why? Because we're to carry on the strength and the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a difference in not liking something and being offended. Homosexuality. If your offense for a homosexual is greater than your love for them, you have fallen to the spirit of offense. How do we check ourselves if our love is greater than the offense? Now, Matthew 24 goes on to say, and because, verse 12, iniquity shall abound, the love of many will grow cold. He goes on to say, pray in verse 20 that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. Verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world or of time, nor shall it ever be. Now, here's my point. Matthew 28, when you read it, Jesus is speaking about this same time we're speaking about of the seals and the trumpets and the vials. Everybody with me? Are the spirit of these things of the ages this other dimension, or have they been released? The answer is yes. I explained to you a month ago that Satan himself does not know when this tribulation period starts. So therefore, he has to have an Antichrist in the chute for the last 2,000 years. Because he doesn't know when he steps on the scene. So he's got to be ready. So about every generation, the thing will ramp up again. All of a sudden, you'll see all the seals and the trumpets. You'll see plagues hit and all that, and then it'll die down. Then it'll start back up again. Then it'll die down. Historically, like we can prove it to you. All of a sudden, all of these, they'll build up and they'll die down. But there'll be a day that it's actually going to, you know that it's here. We are just living in the birth pains. We are just living, we're not hitting it big time. I don't like what I feel. I don't like what little I got. But this much we can know in the day of grace, the parentheses that's called the church. We can know that it's getting greater. I can feel it. Can you feel it? It's getting greater, it's getting greater, it's getting greater. The darkness is getting greater. The warning Jesus gives us is it can affect you. Don't think it can affect you. Many, your love can go cold on you. You'll be offended. You can't tolerate. He's warning. Is the day here? No. Is the spirit of it here? Yes. Is it getting stronger? Yes. Has anybody noticed there are no more Leave It to Beaver days? You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about? There are no more Mayberry days. They're not here anymore. Where'd they go? It's moving. There's not safe and peace and safety. Now, this 144,000 is going to lead the greatest revival that's ever hit the planet. The greatest revival on the planet is going to be in the tribulation period. So, you should be getting excited. We're leading up to it. Yes, the powers of darkness are getting worse. But yes, power of the Spirit is still greater. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So as you see darkness getting greater, get excited. Uh-oh. If it starts to overtake you, can you not tell that we have to grow in the power of the Spirit more every day? The power of the Spirit you had 2 years ago is not sufficient for today. You will fall. You will fail. If you say darkness is greater, and you can't say that greater is in He that's in me than this new darkness I've just experienced, you've missed it. So it requires a constant being in church, being in Bible study, being in worship. If you take off on vacation in the Spirit on God, you'll get behind. You'll get your lunch eaten by the demons of hell. Why? Because we're living in a fast, escalated time. We are living in the day that knowledge is on the increase. There's been more knowledge in the last 50 years than was in the previous 5,000 years. Now, if anybody's bored, I'll quit. But if you want me to go on, I will. He says this right here. I want you to look. You're still in Matthew 24, I know, because you're a prophetic people. And y'all already know I'm going to verse 27. Verse 20 says, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Anybody see that? So it says, as lightning comes out of the east, shines into the west, also so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When you see lightning cometh, and we're going through the book of Revelation, everywhere you see this lightning, and it cometh, there's lightnings and thunderings around the throne of God. There's so much power, there's so much light, it's just going on all the time. At the end of these seals, at the end of the trumpets, at the end of the vials, it'll have a signature, and there was lightnings and thunderings and earthquakes. Gives you a signal, prophetic people, He's coming again. And when He comes, He's bringing all this with Him. There's a greater amount He brings with Him, but there's a smaller amount that precedes Him. Heaven precedes His coming. We are the agent on earth. We're the parentheses. We are the agent. We're the secret weapon of God that contains the preemptiveness of heaven on earth before He comes. Does anybody get a witness? Darkness increases. So does light. 144,000 gives the greatest revival the planet will ever know. But His Spirit precedes that 144,000. And that's in the parentheses, people, which is us. Now, do I think that I will carry the power and the anointing of the 144,000? I don't. But I think I can get so close to it, it'll make them scream. I might not have 100% what they've got, but we can have 99. Because the power of His Spirit, remember, I showed you last week, Jesus is the one that baptizes you. Holy Ghost don't do this baptism. Jesus does the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost don't baptize Himself in you. Jesus does it. 144,000, Jesus does it. Day of Grace, parentheses of the church, Jesus does it. Why do you want to be on good speaking terms with Jesus? Because He does it. I mean, Brown knows Him, do you get it right? That's all right with me. Just try. Matthew 24, Revelation 7:19. My, oh my, I'm just now getting to my verses. Now, we get to this chapter 7:9. All of a sudden, it's this crowd of people. And this crowd of people is in the throne. John sees them. Here they are. They come, and they got these white robes on. Watch it. If you got your Bibles, you can read it on the screen. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number. Of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, this was the crowd of people. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Anybody ever heard that one? And crying out with a loud voice, saying, look, they're crying out and they are loud. They are loud. In our worship and crying out to God, it's okay to be loud. You can say, loud, I'm not a loud person. Well, I'm not either, but I'm learning to be one. Why? Because the Bible says in the worshiping and praise that they were loud. I had a dream years ago, but I was in this church. I understand it more now than I did then. But what I couldn't understand was people was talking about how loud the music was. But in this dream, the congregation was so loud you couldn't even hear the blame music. What's the revelation? If we can hear too much music, we ain't loud enough. Now, I don't know where that can come from, but I just said it. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. They were loud about this. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne. They worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom. What's a good response when you're in the presence of God? Amen. We didn't make that word up. God did. If somebody says amen, and it bothers you, something's wrong with you. You're going to be on the back row in heaven's all I can tell you. Amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom. Thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let it be so. If you feel an amen wailing up in you, don't choke it. It's a spiritual phenomena. Can you hear me, somebody? It'll just come up out of the Spirit. If you want to speak in a tongue, speak in an amen. Let it out. It'll come out of your belly. It's already there. It's the Holy Ghost inside of you speaking forth. Amen. Can you feel it when I say it? Amen. It's the voice, it's the tongue of the Spirit of the living God. That's what it is. I can give you more scripture for that if you need it. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? When did we last find a crowd of people with palm branches in their hands welcoming Jesus? You remember that? Palm Sunday, we call it. Jesus riding out of the mountains into Jerusalem as king. Right? We have the completion of this that happens in Revelation. Who are the people that are doing it? You see, those people that were laying down the palm branches were thinking they were the people that it was going to happen to and they'd be in the heavens. Some of them are the same ones. Oh. There's going to be a new crowd of them that's going to join them. They're going to come out of the tribulation period and these 144,000 preaching, shooting these people up into the heaven. Now, John's looking forward. In earth's darkest hour yet to come, the greatest harvest the world has ever seen will take place. We're supposed to start seeing revivals pop here, there, here, there, here, there, before the big one hits. Everybody wants the big one. I want the big one too. But give me the pre-course. Suit me just fine. We got revivals popping up everywhere right now. Got one in San Diego. Got one in Kentucky. Got one not too far from us. Where is it? Where? Burlington. Yeah. Independent churches. Independent Baptist churches. Laugh at them all you want to. There's more people getting saved here than there is here. There than there is here. We got to wipe the smugness off of our face. They are children of God. We should be rejoicing with them. Did their doctrine get people saved? No, Jesus did. Is our doctrine got us saved? No, Jesus does. That's what does it. John sees things that are happening at the close of the seven-year week or the seven-year tribulation. That's these saints. They got the palm branches. They are welcoming Jesus Christ as King. How did they get there? They probably died if they received the gospel in the tribulation period. Now, go figure. But the worse it gets, the more we trust God. Just the way it is. Now, John sees the results of these 144,000 preaching. Oh my goodness, I've got to stop. He sees ahead to the end of the 7 years and sees this great multitude that have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb, and they have palm branches in their hands. Remember, the darker the hour, the greater the harvest. We got to get it, church. We got to catch it. We don't sit around talking about how dark it is unless at the end of it you're going to say, but you know what? That means we got more power waiting. If Alan Smith is walking in less power than the darkness is around me, I am running behind. There is something wrong in my life. It's not that hard to understand. God's not punishing me not giving His Spirit. You got to give yourself over. Listen, when we quit sinning, it gives us more time to receive Spirit. Do you not notice that sin takes a lot of time? You know why it takes so much time? It's because you're not good at it. You weren't created to do it. You were created to have the anointing and the power of God to take this message of the gospel of the kingdom to the world. If we see, last week a lady got saved. God's given us a token here. I said, all right, y'all. You can brag on yourself and think you're doing great all you want to. If them baptismal waters ain't getting stirred, you ain't getting it.
That's right.
Just the way it is. We can sit around in here and tell each other how pretty we are all we want to. If people aren't getting born again, we are not getting the job done.
That's right.
That one was free. Lord Jesus, we love You. Lord, thank You for Your Word and Your way. Lord Jesus, I ask and pray if there's anything I've said that's not of You, that people will look over it. But I pray if there's anything I've said of you that it'll have a double anointing. And it'll quicken our hearts. It'll call us into the deep. It'll call us into reality of the Spirit. Let this church be a contagious church that'll infect this county, this community, this state. Dear God, if other churches are in revival, I'm as jealous as I can be. And my jealousy will get hotter and hotter and hotter. Don't leave us out, oh God. Don't leave us out. Let us be known for the power of your Spirit and be contagious to anybody that walks in here. Come visit us in our worship time. Anoint our pastor. Make him so peculiar he scares himself. Don't leave an ounce of dignity in the man. Turn him wrong side out. Have I got an amen?
Amen.
Will you help me preach him? Will you help me pull it out of him? You have to help him. Lord, let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all yours, preacher.